How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.
What is, of course, exciting about this fragment is that it's the first case we have of Christians claiming that Jesus had a wife.
Jesus said to them, to his disciples, that is, Jesus said to them, my wife. What this does not mean is that Jesus had a wife. It's not evidence for us historically that Jesus had a wife. It's tied to discussions, even controversies, even arguments, you know, that early Christians are having about proper Christian practice. You know, should Christians marry or should they be celibate?
That's Karen King of Harvard University. You probably read her name and seen a picture of a papyrus. It's a little fragment of, let's just call it 1st, 2nd, 3rd century paper, for lack of a better word, with some Greek writing on it, claiming, now she said right there, she's not claiming that Jesus had a wife, but she's claiming that early Christians wondered whether or not Jesus did have a wife. And some are saying that this papyrus and the writing thereon is textual evidence that that debate actually is one we ought to have today. Of course, people make hay with these things all the time. Where did this thing come from? What did it mean in its context? It is just a tiny scrap of papyrus. Does that say anything about it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Charles Geeson joins us for the first half hour or so to talk about this fragment of an ancient text in which Jesus is quoted as saying that he has a wife, or some people are at least reading it that way. A little bit later, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us. We usually have him on for a movie review, and we'll do that. The movie's Lawless and Premium Rush, but we'll also talk to him about real versus counterfeit spirituality. He's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, author of a forthcoming book called Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. A little bit later, we'll delve into our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Apocrypha, taking up some of the historical books that we find there in those intertestamental writings. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. He's a contributor to the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition, with notes. And we'll talk about 1 Maccabees. Then a little bit later, Dr. R. Scott Smith. We're going to talk about evolution's fatal flaw. It's not so much to do with evolution, but with its basic philosophical underpinnings that he will demonstrate are logically self-refuting. We'll do that in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Dr. Charles Geeson is a regular guest. He's professor of New Testament and academic dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Geeson, welcome back.
It's good to be with you.
We've been reading the headlines for about the last 24 hours that this fragment of papyrus establishes that Jesus had a wife, or says that Jesus had a wife. Are these headlines accurate to the story?
Well, it's been a very interesting story. One thing I'd like to quote is the author of the article that all these reports are based on says in the third sentence of her article, she says, it does not, however, namely this fragment that she is currently studying, provide evidence that the historical Jesus was married. So what it does provide is that we have a small fragment that makes that claim, but even that isn't clear because it's so small. I mean, this is a piece of papyri dating from the 4th century, probably written by Gnostics, maybe even a Valentinian Gnostic group. And it certainly does not give us any historical record in terms of first century Christianity such as the Gospels do on the life of Jesus, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It probably is a small fragment that's out of is known as a Gnostic Gospel document, namely things that were written in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century by heretical Christian groups that really departed from the kind of Christian confession that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus and the significance of his death and even what he taught.
So this isn't a fragment of one of the Gospels, an alternate reading to some already established text. This is a thing that's outside the pale of both Orthodox Christianity in its origin, but also outside the pale of manuscript evidence for the New Testament.
Yeah. It's not like we found a little piece of a gospel that we can fit into, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This is a Coptic manuscript. One of the challenges that, and the author readily, the Harvard scholar Kieran King readily acknowledges this, it's such a small fragment, and we don't have any history associated with where the fragment came from in terms of a larger document. Sometimes antiquities, people that wanted to make money on ancient papyri text, actually would cut them up and sell the individual pieces. And that's possibly how this fragment ended up, circulating. And one of the challenges in reading an ancient text is you could certainly decipher the Coptic. It's very readable. But the challenge is it's not the whole sentences, so you're having the end of the sentence cut off and the beginning of the sentence cut off, and then you don't have any context in which to interpret it. But just from the little bit that we have, it actually reads somewhat like other Gnostic documents, such as the Gospel of Philip, which happens to be a Valentinian Gnostic gospel, again, written two to three centuries after Jesus, after the biblical canonical gospels, and written by groups that differed very radically with Orthodox Christianity in terms of their understanding of Jesus, his teaching, and the significance of his death. They would, even deny any kind of sense of atonement that's accomplished through the death of Jesus. Rather, one is saved by this knowledge one gets from the teachings of Jesus, which are in conflict with what we find in the canonical Gospels as the teachings of Jesus.
Okay, so I guess the next question is there any historical evidence either among Christians or these heretical groups that there was some ongoing ancient debate about whether or not Jesus had a wife?
Well, I think that the key thing is there is some evidence of a debate about marriage, both in some Christian circles and in heretical circles, and the whole aspect of whether it was more spiritual. And you see this obviously blossoming later in Christianity with monasteries convents, where the idea of spiritually being married to Christ means you don't engage in the blessings of physical marriage with another human being. So I mean, some of those debates really do date way back, and they certainly are found. Some evidence of that is found even in the New Testament, in the sense of some of the challenges that are going on and that the apostles are seeking to counteract. But it certainly pops up in the 2nd and 3rd century in some of these heretical groups, and the Gnostics are there were some Gnostics that espoused very much of a no marriage type of androgynous almost existence, and there's others that actually espoused marriage, the Valentinians among them. So sometimes some of these documents actually do have that as a bit of a debate.
Two quick final questions then.
Mm-hmm.
So does this help us understand or even further clarify the theological gulf between Orthodox Christianity and these other groups that were pretenders to Christianity in the first couple centuries?
Well, given the limited text that we have in this fragment, it doesn't do too much for us in understanding the group that wrote this. And it's somewhat deceiving. I'll just put it, it's provocative but deceiving to call it the Gospel of Jesus' Wife. Now, it may indeed be from a gospel type of document written by Gnostics, but certainly this is probably not the central content of that document. Given the limited amount of text that we have, which is just a few lines, it really doesn't tell us that much even about the Gnostic beliefs, except that it probably is, because it mentions that my mother gave me life. This is supposedly Jesus talking. We have similar statements in the Gospel of Philip, understanding that the Spirit gave him life. And then he's talking about something about Mary being worthy of it. So it probably has something to do with the teaching of this particular document, emphasizing that women, or Mary specifically, could participate in salvation. You know, there were some debates even among Gnostics about that in terms of role of women and the like. So it tells us very little because of the limited amount of text, but it does tell us something that it's probably related to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century teachings of a particular Gnostic group.
When we come back, a couple more questions for Dr. Charles Geeshan. We're talking about a fragment of an ancient text in which Jesus is quoted as saying he has a wife. It's Wednesday afternoon, December the 19th. Dr. Geeshan is professor of New Testament and academic dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. After a few minutes with Dr. Geeshan, Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting will join us. We'll talk about the movies Lawless and Premium Rush. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Charles Geeshan is our guest. We're talking about this fragment of an ancient text in which Jesus is quoted as saying he has a wife. A couple more questions for you before we let you go, Dr. Geeshan. Do you think the discovery and the study, I mean, we're not talking about small potatoes when it comes to Karen King, but does the study and the story merit all the attention it's getting in the press?
Well, I think it says something about that Jesus still is able to turn some heads. You know, you mentioned Jesus. I do think, however, the way it's being posed is sensationalist. You know, one might say that, and I'm not talking about Karen King, the actual Harvard professor. Actually, you know, she's everything that she stated in the sense is at least somewhat balanced and not trying to be, you know, not trying to create fervor. But I think the challenge is when a writer selects a title, and obviously they want people to pay attention, and just anything with Jesus and something with the idea that he had a wife obviously is going to turn heads. Unfortunately, there's not much here other than learning about what some heretical Gnostic group had written. And again, it's so limited in terms of a fragment that we don't even see, we don't have much text to analyze and certainly a context in which to understand the little bit of text that we have.
Finally then, how should one of our listeners who shows up at work tomorrow and over the water cooler is confronted by someone there, one of their colleagues says, hey, did you read about the evidence that Jesus actually had a wife contrary to every claim of the New Testament? How should they respond, in short?
I would say that there were a lot of claims made in documents that that date from the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century, and obviously even up to Dan Brown's recent book, The Da Vinci Code, that make claims that don't have a good foundation. And the question is, do we have earlier, more reliable texts that are actually saying something about the history of Jesus' life? And certainly the Gospels don't give us all sorts of details about Jesus' childhood and the like, in terms of his adulthood, his earthly ministry. They give us a lot. Their first century, their complete accounts. We have many, many manuscripts testifying to what those eyewitnesses actually wrote, or, you know, if they weren't eyewitnesses, they were based on eyewitnesses like Luke's accounts. So if you want to learn about Jesus and his life, go to these first century documents that are attested by thousands of ancient manuscripts, papyri dating to the sixth century, and obviously many copies after that. So, you know, that's what you should be looking at in terms of getting a better understanding of the historical Jesus. This kind of fragment gives us a little window into some group later that was probably a Gnostic group, and we have other evidence similar to it.
Dr. Charles Geeshan is professor of New Testament and academic dean at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Geeshan, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.